Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, March 27, 2025, 2 John.
All right, before we get started, I want you to know we have a walking miracle in Upland Bible Church. When all the rest of you have a birthday, you look older. This guy, when he has a birthday, he looked younger. Tyrone's birthday is tomorrow, and he keeps looking younger and younger. You are a walking miracle. There you go. Happy birthday. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 John. 2 John. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening to fellowship with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We also have a couple of updates on the Heaven Special being taught. First of all, at the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. This is the Las Ventanas Heaven Special Lesson on Wednesday, March 26th. It went very well. The core group was very enthusiastic about another Bible lesson. They enjoy following along the large print Bibles provided by Upland Bible Church. In this lesson, Pastor Olson explained the imminency of the rapture. And he also described how one generation of believers will not see physical death. That's the rapture generation. Now, when is the rapture going to take place? Nobody knows, but God does. And it might be in our generation, it might not. The way things are going, I kind of wouldn't be surprised if the rapture was in our generation. But then none of you would have the privilege of having dessert, which is dying grace, and going through that great, great blessing of dying grace. So, in a way, I hope you all die. I wouldn't want you to miss dessert. I mean, you eat all of the Brussels sprouts, and I don't know why you'd want to eat Brussels sprouts, but you eat all those Brussels sprouts and all those things. Now, when it comes to the end of your life and dying grace, don't you want dessert? Don't you want the chocolate pie, whipped cream, and maraschino cherries? Sure you do. But anyway, I don't think any of you will complain if you are in the rapture generation. See, So anyway, Pastor Olson, whoever this guy is, Pastor Olson, explained the imminency of the rapture. He described how one generation of believers will not see physical death. But for the majority of church-age believers who are not in the rapture generation, God sovereignly decides the time, the manner, and the place of our physical death. And it's perfect. God has a perfect time, a perfect manner, and a perfect place for each one of us in physical death. Rich says, no one was in a hurry to leave after the lesson, each sharing a story about when their husband died. Before leaving, they always express gratitude for the teaching of the Word of God every week. To God be the glory as He continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. Your prayers are greatly appreciated. That's Rich Blair, who is conducting that. And then Jerry Cahoon is also holding a heaven special at the West Sahara Living Center. And today, March 26th, Florencio showed up. He was here 2 weeks ago. He came back. Rich and Dina Blair also came to class. I asked Florencio if he wanted to listen to the whole class or just half of it. He said, let's play the whole thing. Not my kind of guy. Let's play the whole thing. We listened to lesson two. Pastor Olson was reviewing about Paul being caught up to the third heaven and that Jesus Christ was the expert on heaven since he's the one who created it. The pastor went on to teach that in heaven we have angels, we have the royal family of God, church-age saints, and Old Testament saints, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ. Florencia said he enjoyed the class and he will be back next week. Please continue to pray that God will direct the ones who are positive to assemble for the Bible teaching. Thank you, Jerry Cahoon, who is conducting the Heaven Special at West Sahara. All right, now 2 John. And we are in verses 4 through 6. And in verses 4 through 6 of 2 John, virtue love is the spotlight is on virtue love. And virtue love, that's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. God has a fantastic plan for each one of us. And that plan is for you to fulfill the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, grow up. Grow up spiritually in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you grow up, see, when you start out, you place your faith in Christ, you're a spiritual baby. God doesn't want you to stay a baby. He wants you to grow up spiritually, from babyhood to adolescence to spiritual maturity. And when you attain spiritual maturity, you will fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. And that is to have virtue love brought to completion in your hearts. And that virtue love is made up of three parts. Part one, personal love for God the Father. And that personal love for God the Father is the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. And third part of virtue love, occupation with Jesus Christ. That is, Jesus Christ makes himself at home in your heart. He makes himself at home in your heart. And every single second of every day, you enjoy Jesus Christ. You enjoy fellowship with Him. You share His happiness. And He leads you and guides you every single step, every second of every day. This is the ultimate objective. This is why we're here. And this is where the spotlight is placed by the Apostle John in verses 4 through 6. So virtue love is found in verses 4 through 6. And how is this virtue love developed in your heart? It's the result of walking in aletheia. This is a word that the Apostle John uses in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Aletheia looks like this in the Greek. A-L, long E-T-H-E-I-A. And aletheia means more than just truth. Aletheia means absolute truth. And absolute truth is the Word of God. God has given to us His Word, the God-breathed Scriptures. It's called the Word of God. It's called the mind of Christ. It's called the voice of the Spirit. The Word of God is absolute truth. And if you're ever going to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you have to live your life, walk in absolute truth of the Word of God, Bible doctrine. And that's what we have here. Virtue love is the result of walking in aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Verse 4, we exegeted that, sounds like this. I was very happy because I found that some of your children keep on walking, keep on living their life in the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Just as we have received the mandate to do so from the Father. Now he is writing this to a very magnificent lady. He addresses her as Curia, the great lady. And this great lady, her name is Nympha. And Nympha has done a fantastic job raising and training her children. The partitive genitive of the noun technon, children, designates the whole of which a part is mentioned, and therefore it's correctly translated, some of your children. Some of your children. In other words, not all of the children of the elect lady Nympha were necessarily positive. Even in the best of homes, there can be negative volition on the part of some, and positive volition on the part of others. Free will is the key. God has given every one of us in our soul a volition, a free will. And that is the key. Those children who are consistently positive and develop the foundational virtue of humility, they will be motivated to make good decisions. Good decisions to live the spiritual life. The foundational virtue of humility in the child's soul results in his respect for God, his respect for the Word of God, and his respect for the pastor who teaches the Word of God. Good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills provides options for future decisions. However, bad decisions to live your life in the cosmic system destroys those options, and that results in divine discipline. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Hebrews 12, verse 5. The Lord disciplines us because He loves us. Once you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you're now a member of the royal family of God. You're a son of God. You're an adult son of God in union with Christ. And He doesn't want to see you crash and burn. God has the greatest plan for your life. And He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. That's the plan God has for us. And you have a free will. You have a free will after salvation to assemble in a Bible teaching church consistently and faithfully and be positive in humility, respond to the teaching of the Word of God, learn the Word of God, believe the Word of God, believe the absolute truth of God's Word, and that freedom, you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have that choice. You have that freedom to do that. But you also have the freedom to have negative volition and to, one, after salvation, you don't really care if you assemble in a church and learn Bible doctrine or not. And if you do go there, you are negative to what is taught. And you don't respond. You don't believe the grace and truth of God's Word. You're free to do that. But when you do that, well, that frankly, it breaks our Lord's heart. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. He disciplines you because He doesn't want to see you crash and burn. He wants to bless you. So those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Hebrews 12:5. It comes in warning discipline. And that's, hopefully you come to your senses with that and get back into fellowship with God. And God has a fantastic problem-solving device for rebound. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, instantly restoring us to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and the spiritual life. And now you can get up and move on, start growing up, fulfill the mandate to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, learn the Word of God, believe the Word of God. So He starts out, when you're making bad decisions, it starts out, those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Warning discipline. If you don't come to your senses there, then the Lord brings intensive discipline. And hopefully you'll come to your senses at that point and rebound and get back into fellowship with God and get up and move on. But sometimes you don't listen to the God at that point. And then God has to bring dying discipline into your life. And it doesn't please the Lord to do that. We studied the doctrine of pleasing the Lord. And one thing, it never pleases the Lord to have to administer the sin unto death, dying discipline to any believer. That's not, He wants to bless you. And He gives you every opportunity to make those good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So, good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills provides options for future great decisions. However, bad decisions to live your life in the cosmic system destroys those options, resulting in divine discipline. And if you don't come to your senses and get back into fellowship with God, ultimately the sin unto death. An adult body does not imply a spiritually mature believer. The Apostle John is putting the spotlight on the positive children of Nympha and the happiness that John received witnessing their spiritual progress and their spiritual growth. John is happy because Nympha's children keep on walking, keep on living their life in aletheia, in the absolute truth of the Word of God. And this is the spiritual walk that is worthy of the Lord and that pleases Him. And we saw that in Colossians 1, 9 and 10 and Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Verse 5 then says, "And as things now stand, great lady Curia, I make a request of you, not as writing to you a new mandate, but the mandate which we have had from the beginning, namely, that we love one another. Love one another. This is what we have right here. Great impersonal love for all. That we love one another with the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all. Now the mandate which we have had from the beginning is the mandate that was taught by our Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples in John 13, 34 and 35. This new, remarkable, marvelous mandate is to love one another with virtue love. Specifically, impersonal love for all. Just as I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have loved you with impersonal love for all, so you must love one another with impersonal love for all. And that's John 13:34. And then in John 13:35, Jesus taught them, all men will know that you are the Lord Jesus Christ's disciples, if you love one another with impersonal love for all. What does this mean? When you grow up to spiritual maturity, when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, that personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue, will motivate you to have impersonal love for all mankind. That's the great functional virtue. And when you have impersonal love for all mankind, your life will have great visible impact. Everywhere you go, all that you do, your life will have great visible impact. And it, I don't care if you are, we like, but most of the people in this church have gone hunting. I've taken them hunting. And we've gone hunting and we're at some hot springs way up in northern Nevada. And everybody's in the hot springs. And there were some other people there that weren't a part of our group. And they came up and they said, you people have something that we would like to have, but we don't have it. What is it that you have? You're always happy. You're having a great time. And we said, well, we are Christians. We are Christians. We have a personal relationship with the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And what you are simply witnessing is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. And that's what God the Holy Spirit produces in us and through us. And they said, we would like to have that. We want to have that. Well, what is that? Great visible impact. When you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and attain spiritual maturity, when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, your life will have great visible impact everywhere you go, whether it's fishing or hunting or out to dinner. And Deb and I, we've narrowed the restaurants down to a two or three restaurants that we really like. Everybody in there knows. Everybody, they know that I'm pastor of Upland Bible Church. They all know that. They all come over. We've given the grace, the purple booklet to all the people in there that work there. They all have received the gospel. They know the issue. And you have great visible impact, whether it's in a restaurant, whether it's whatever you do. You have great visible impact. That's what we have here. All men will know that you are my disciples, Jesus Christ said, John 13:35. The Apostle John heard the Lord Jesus Christ teach this mandate many, many times. And he totally got it. He nailed it. So when John writes 1 John and 2 John, this is no longer a new mandate, but it still is a marvelous and remarkable mandate. As we noted in 1 John 2, 7 and 10, 1 John 3, 23, 1 John 4, 19 to 21. This mandate was also taught by the other apostles, taught by the apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. It was taught by the apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1, 22. And then we have verse 6, and this is virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all mankind, loving one another with impersonal love. Namely, that we keep on walking, keep on living the spiritual life according to the norms and standards of His mandates, the mandates that God has given in His Word. This is the mandate, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should keep on walking, living your life in it, in virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, loving one another with the functional virtue of impersonal love for all. Now that brought us to a study on the spiritual walk of the church age believer. And so far we've studied point one and the spiritual walk of the church age believer. Point one, the spiritual walk is also called in the Bible walking in the light. Walking in the light. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 10. You were once in darkness, spiritual death, when you were an unbeliever. But now you are light in the Lord, in union with Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is light. He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. At the moment you believe in Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes you, enters you into union with Christ. Jesus Christ is light. Positionally, you are now in the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, since you're positionally in the light, in union with Christ, who is the light, walk or live your life as children of light. That means in your experience, you need to walk in the light. Now you have a, positionally, you're in the light, a union with Christ. That's absolute. Experientially, well, it's, you decide where you're going to walk. You decide whether you're going to walk in the light experientially and live the spiritual life, or whether you're going to walk out of fellowship with God in darkness. You have the freedom experientially. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all grace, orientation, and righteousness and truth. This is a command to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attain spiritual maturity. God wants you to grow up. He doesn't want you to stay a baby or adolescent. He wants you to attain spiritual maturity. And when you do, you will fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. You will have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. This command is a reference to experiential sanctification. Since we are positionally light in the Lord who is light in union with Christ, then we should walk experientially in the light as children of light. Just as walking in the darkness is incompatible with walking in light, so Christian degeneracy is incompatible with the spiritual life. Walking in darkness is living your life out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system. Walking in the light is the term used specifically for the believer's execution of God's plan, will, and purpose for his life. Therefore, walking in the light is synonymous with living this unique spiritual life God has given to us in the church age. That's point one. The spiritual walk is walking in the light. Now that brings us to point two. Point two, the precedence for walking in the light. And what is the precedence for walking in the light? Well, glad you asked. 1 John 2:6. 1 John 2:6. The precedence for walking in the light is found in 1 John 2:6. The one who claims to abide in him. That's a, we've already studied 1 John in this church. And the key word that John uses all throughout 1 John, and then he uses it in 2 John, and then he uses it in 3 John, is meno. M-E-N long O. Meno. So when he says, the one who claims to meno in him, that is, living the spiritual life, is obligated also himself to keep on walking just as he, Jesus Christ, walked and lived the spiritual life. So here's the precedence. The precedence is our Lord Jesus Christ. So, one, let's amplify this. The Lord Jesus Christ is our role model. We have a role model. He's already showed us the whole situation and how this spiritual life, how you live the spiritual life, how you walk in the spiritual life. He's already presented all this to us. Two, our Lord walked in the prototype spiritual life. Our Lord Jesus Christ walked in the prototype spiritual life. Therefore, three, we are to walk in the operational spiritual life. He tested it all out. Jesus Christ tested it all out on that very first Christmas. The greatest miracle that the world will ever know happened on that very first Christmas. The eternal Son of God left heaven. Through the incarnation and virgin birth, he came into the world with true humanity. He took on true humanity. Now, he not only is the eternal Son of God, he is also true humanity. Undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. The unique person of the universe now. Why did he have to take on true humanity? Because the Father who designed the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, when he designed that plan of salvation, Jesus Christ said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." And it meant leaving heaven, it meant leaving glory, it meant taking on true humanity, humbling himself, taking on true humanity. Why? Because he had to go to a cross. Deity can't die. He had to go to a cross because on that cross, God the Father would gather up the sins of the whole world and pour them out on Jesus Christ on the cross and then judge them in Christ once and for all. And so Jesus Christ paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world by his work on the cross. So that now anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life. And when Jesus Christ was at that incarnation and virgin birth, he was indwelt and filled with the Spirit right then, 100%. And that ministry of God the Holy Spirit in the humanity of Christ was the power to live the unique spiritual life. And he lived that very first unique spiritual life. He was the first member of true humanity, indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit right at the moment of his virgin birth for always. And he lived the unique spiritual life of the church age. And then what did he do? He tried it all out and showed he's our role model. He showed it works. And then he passed it on to all of us, church-age saints, church-age believers. And at the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you're all indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. You're indwelt by the Spirit. You can never lose the indwelling of the Spirit. And then you're given a command to be filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, just as Jesus Christ was empowered by the Spirit, and live this unique spiritual life of the church age. So the Lord, our Lord, walked in the prototype spiritual life, and therefore we are to walk in the operational spiritual life. For walking as children of light means we are to grow up spiritually to spiritual maturity and have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts. So walking as children of light means we are to attain spiritual maturity, fulfill the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and have virtue, love brought to completion in our heart. So that's point two. The precedent for walking in the light is the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 John 2:6. Point three, the power to make this spiritual walk. What's the power? We have to have a power, not our power, not human energy of the flesh, not the sin nature. God provides divine power for this spiritual walk. There are two categories here. The power for this spiritual walk is, first of all, the power of God the Holy Spirit. The power of God the Holy Spirit. That's why we have in Galatians 5:16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit." Live your life by the power of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, "and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature." Galatians 5:16. Walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And then we have Ephesians 5:18, another command. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered in your life by God, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. So two commands. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered by the agency of God, the Holy Spirit. And walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. That's the first divine power. Second one is the power of the spiritual walk is the powerful Word of God. Now, my wife, Debbie, she's been a teacher for years and years and years and years, and she loves to read. Debbie loves to read. She's always going to the library, and there are millions of books in libraries. And she always reading a book, and then coming in and said, "This is a great book." And then she goes, "Yeah." I said, "She's, what are you reading?" I said, "The Bible." "This is a great book, too. This is even more great than the one you're reading, man." But all those millions of books in the library, they're all dead. The only one that's living is the Bible. The only book that is living and powerful is the Word of God. What you have in your laps there, that's the most powerful book ever. The Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is alive and powerful." The Word of God is alive and powerful. As you live the spiritual walk by the spiritual skills, then you will find a sound Bible teaching church. You will make good decisions to assemble in positive volition and humility to learn the Word of God. And this results in walking in the absolute truth, the aletheia of the Word of God. 2 John verse 4 says again, "I was very happy because I have found that some of your children keep on walking in aletheia, in the absolute truth of the Word of God, just as we have received the mandate to do so from the Father. Now after we finish 2 John, we see after we finish 1 John, we're in 2 John. After we finish 2 John, we'll be in 3 John. And after we finish 3 John, we'll be somewhere, we're not going to be any more Johns. 3 John verse 4, I have no greater happiness than this, to hear of my children walking in the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Paul has given us a warning. The Apostle Paul has given us a warning in Ephesians 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5, 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk. This is addressed to all of you as believers in Jesus Christ. This is a warning to all church-age believers. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise. Unwise means you have little or no of the amount of the Word of God in your heart. If you have little or no amount of God's Word in your heart, you don't have any wisdom. The word wisdom is chokmah in the Hebrew, sophia in the Greek, and it means it's the Word of God that you've learned and you believe, and it's in your heart. And once the Word of God, you learn it, believe it, it's in your heart, it gives you wisdom. Now you have wisdom. Now you can apply the truth of the Word of God to your life in any situation or circumstance of your life. Why? Because you have wisdom. That means you can skillfully and accurately apply the absolute truth of God's Word to your own life, to any situation, to any circumstance. That's wisdom. But if you don't have wisdom, you can't do that. If you don't have the Word of God, yet you've learned it and believed it and it's in your heart, if you have no wisdom, well, then you'll just crash and burn. You don't have to. But that's why Paul gave this warning, Ephesians 5:15. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise, no word of God in your heart, but as wise, as believers who have a maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart, because you've learned it, you believed it, and now by the filling of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you to apply the truth of God's Word skillfully and accurately in your life, in every situation, in every circumstance of your life. So the power for the spiritual walk is twofold. First, the power of God the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:16, Ephesians 5:18, and second, the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Now that brings us to point four in the spiritual walk. Point four. As you live the spiritual walk, you will walk in a manner worthy of God. As you live the spiritual walk, you will walk in a manner worthy of God. That is, when we walk in a manner worthy of God, we please God. And by the way, we studied what the Bible has to say. It has a lot to say about pleasing the Lord. And we studied that in great detail. It's a fantastic study. In fact, I'm going to talk to the deacons. We may put this on a special that you can order. And get that special on pleasing the Lord. But when we walk in a manner worthy of God, we please God. And why are we here? Why are you here after salvation? We are here to please the Lord. We're here to please God. And that means we're here to glorify God. That's why we're here. And we're not here for that long. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. Except for Tyrone down here, he keeps getting younger every year. But we, one of these days, or turn around and we'll be in heaven. And you all knew our song leader, Randy Frick. Randy is in heaven now. And I can tell you, Randy was a spiritually mature believer. He had virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He is the best of the best. He's in heaven, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And frankly, I am so happy for him, and I'm a little bit envious because he's already there ahead of me, you know. But he's a fantastic believer in Jesus Christ. And he put a lot of pressure on Gary Brown, who is now, he is now the lead singer, and we just know him as the fantastic crooner, you know. So when we walk in a manner worthy of God, we please God. That is why we are here. We are here to please God and to glorify God. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12 says, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of God. So that you might walk in a manner worthy of God, who elected you to privilege into his kingdom and his glory. And then Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. Turn over to Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, I therefore, this is the Apostle Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you. Actually, the word is to command you. This is a mandate. To walk in a manner worthy of your calling, into which calling you have been called. And that calling is you have been elected to privilege. We all have been elected to privilege. And how do you walk this walk in a manner worthy of your calling? With all humility. That's respect for God, respect for the Word of God, respect for the pastor who teaches the Word of God. And all gentleness, that's mental attitude grace, that's grace orientation in your soul. And with patience, for fortitude, endurance, showing forbearance to one another in love, impersonal love for all. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. 3, if we do all this, then we will fulfill 1 John 1, 7 and have maximum fellowship with God. You'll have maximum fellowship with God every single second of every single day. 1 John 1, 7 says, if we keep on walking in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. That is, the believer has fellowship with God. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we keep on walking in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. The believer has fellowship with God. Point 5. The spiritual walk is also described as walking in newness of life. Walking in newness of life. Now, we studied this on our Sunday morning class. When Sunday morning, we are in Romans, and we studied this in great detail in Romans chapter 6. And in Romans 6, verse 4, it says, therefore, we have been buried with him through the baptism of the Spirit. That's retroactive positional truth, identified with Christ in his death and burial, in order that as Christ has been raised from the dead, so that we too might walk in newness of life. As a result of faith in Jesus Christ, you have been identified with Christ in his death and burial, and you have been identified with Christ in his resurrection. That's current positional truth. You are now in union with Christ. You're in union with the light. Jesus Christ is the light. Therefore, now God has a plan for you to walk in newness of life, so that we too might walk in newness of life. So, a couple of things. One, walking in newness of life means living this unique spiritual life of the church age that God has for all church age saints. Walking in newness of life means living the unique spiritual life of the church age that God has for all church age believers. Two, walking in newness of life means we walk in the light of the Word of God. The Word of God is called light. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. The Word of God is light. So walking in newness of life means also walking in the light of the Word of God. And third, we walk in newness of life because of what happened at salvation, the baptism of the Spirit, entering us into union with Jesus Christ, who is the light at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. So the spiritual walk is walking in newness of life. Point six, the spiritual walk is also living the faith rest life. Living the faith rest life. Second Corinthians 5, verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. That is, the spiritual life is also living the faith rest life. We know the Word of God. We know, have all of these. There are 7,000 promises that God has given to us in His Word. And you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You learn those promises. And you walk by faith in those promises in the Word of God. We had this evening in the music, Alan Jackson was singing. And he was singing, Standing on the Promises. That was one of the ones. Of course, some of you don't get here till after all the songs are over. But I'm sorry you missed out on that. I mean, Alan Jackson. How can you miss out on Alan Jackson singing? Standing on the Promises. So we walk by faith. Faith rest life, standing on the promises of God's Word and not by sight. Colossians 2:6 says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. How do we receive Christ? By faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So salvation is accomplished by simple faith in Jesus Christ. So he says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, faith in him, so walk in him. We are saved by faith. Now you live the spiritual walk by faith, the faith rest life. So we receive Christ by faith. Now we walk by faith. Point seven. The spiritual walk is walking in virtue love. The spiritual walk is walking in virtue love. Turn over to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, become imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love. That's walk in virtue, love. Live your life. Have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And walk in virtue, love, just as Christ also loved you with virtue, love, and gave himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. That's propitiation. Now you see, God is virtue love. And God the Father is the one who designed the plan of salvation. Now we call the plan of salvation Operation Grace. And God the Father designed Operation Grace. John 3:16 says, God loved the world so much that he gave his uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the world so much, every member of the human race so much, and that was God the Father's impersonal love. Impersonal love for all, for the world. He loved the whole world with impersonal love for all. That was the Father. And then God the Son loved all of us, the whole world, with impersonal love for all. Because he willingly said to the Father, I'll do it. I will go to the cross. I will willingly take the sins of the whole world. The sins of the whole world. I will take all of them in my body, and you can judge all those sins in me once and for all. And that's God the Son's impersonal love for the whole world. So the Father loved us all with impersonal love for all and designed Operation Grace, the cross. God the Son loved the world with impersonal love for all, went to that cross, received the sins of the world and the judgment for them, so that anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life. Now, we are now that mandate is given to all of us as royal family of God to love with virtue love. Have virtue love brought to completion in our heart. Have that great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father, which motivates us to have impersonal love for the whole world. The great functional virtue. And to have occupation with Jesus Christ. That brings us to point eight. But guess what? You're going to have to come back next week for point eight. Hey, we've gone from one to point seven. Next week, point eight. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.